The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now, here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll do it each and every week at this very same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. Our guest this week is Father Kevin Esterbrook, who is currently the pastor of St. Ignatius of Antioch Church since 2018, I believe, over on West Boulevard. What a beautiful, not just facade, what a beautiful church that you've inherited, Father.
Really,
first
is.
Of all, welcome.
Yeah, it is one of the gems of the diocese, and I'm really happy to be there.
No question.
So thank you.
You grew up in Madison, and as I kind of read stuff about you, well, you've been east side, west side, all around the town, and it's probably a great thing before becoming a pastor. How did you grow up?
Well, like you said, I grew up in Madison, Ohio, which is the furthest northeast edge of the Diocese of Cleveland.
Okay.
And I attended public school there from kindergarten through my senior year of high school, as about half the seminarians do these days. From very early on, I was helping out in my family business, my family's business.
Mm-hmm.
My family ran a party center, Robertus Party Center out in Madison. So I grew up working alongside my cousins and aunts and uncles and, of course, my mom and dad and sister. Very hard workers, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I attended PSR at my home parish, Immaculate Conception in Madison, and I was an altar boy from fourth grade to eighth grade. And my parents were not very active Catholics. It was my grandparents who would bring me to Mass, and I cannot imagine that I'd be a priest today. Had my grandparents not gone out of their way every week to pick me up and bring me to Mass. And, of course, they promised me breakfast
after
church.
Well, that's not a bad lure.
And that didn't hurt in getting me there. So this is a vocation story, but little encouragement story to the grandparents that should never underestimate, you know, the role that grandparents have in sowing those seeds of faith.
Ever any of those seeds ever sprout early on in your life? You ever think about it as an altar server or anything like that, or no?
Not really. No,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
I grew up doing normal hobbies for a kid, but the priesthood really never entered my mind until after high school.
Mm-hmm. So you went away to college?
Well, if I could go back a little bit, because
sure.
There's a real interesting development.
Oh, please.
In high school, I enjoyed hanging out with friends, and I was in computer club and tennis team and chess team and math team and show choir and jazz choir, and was involved in the drama club performing in plays and musicals. I also acted in a couple local theaters. But something happened in high school. My faith really drifted quite substantially during high school. I quit PSR before receiving the sacrament of confirmation and quit attending Mass and really stopped praying. And there was a point there where I was describing myself as an atheist.
Wow.
I debated and even mocked people who were Christian. So I certainly strayed from God in those years, but God was working behind the scenes to bring me home. And that did happen in college.
Mm-hmm. After your first year, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you at school at that time?
So out of the several colleges to which I applied, it was John Carroll University, which awarded me with the most significant academic scholarship.
Very important.
So that's where I ended up.
Very important decision.
I enrolled at John Carroll originally. I planned on majoring in mathematics. Mm-hmm. I was really into math at the time. It was during that first semester when my cousin asked me to be the godfather for her new baby. And there were several problems with that. Firstly, I had never received the sacrament of confirmation, so I didn't exactly qualify to be a godparent in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Secondly, after 4 years of pretty secular public education, I didn't even know if I believed in Catholicism at that point. So I was honest with my cousin and I made her a deal. I said I would attend confirmation classes with an open mind and I'd start going to church again, but if I could not embrace Catholicism, then she would have to find another godparent for her child.
Well, you're being honest.
Yeah. So it only took one or two sessions of the faith being presented in a clear, articulate way by Father Luigi Miola, pastor of Madison at the time, that I fell in love with the faith again. So much so that I began to consider what God was calling me to do with my life and how I could best serve God.
Mm-hmm.
Father Miola encouraged me to visit the seminary, and I attended a vocation program at Borromeo Seminary on Pentecost weekend. And the Spirit was at work. I then raced home to Madison that very same weekend to receive the sacrament of confirmation. And then the week after that, I proudly stood at the baptismal font as godfather for my cousin's baby, who's now like 23 years old.
The whole drifting away for a time, I think a lot of people, maybe more today than before, but go through that. And you have a school, I believe, at St. Ignatius of Antioch.
I do have a public a school at St. Ignatius, yep.
Do you see some? Can you intervene? How can you intervene and keep them on the right track?
Well, we have a wonderful staff of teachers, who value the Christian faith and try to present that to the kids in a compelling way. We pray with the kids every day. They attend Mass frequently and are coming into church frequently. And we just try to give them a good example of a happy Christian priest or a Catholic priest, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the best that we can do. A lot of our kids are not Catholic and not Christian, and just sowing seeds is sometimes the best that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, non-Catholics, who knows? Maybe you got a convert down the road or something like that, or they don't drift or lead a better life or whatever the right words are. I don't know that I have them, but example is so important. Did your grandparents, that example, come back to you when you visited the seminary?
Well, that vocation weekend on Pentecost Sunday, things became pretty clear.
Uh-huh.
I remember kneeling down in the seminary chapel, Resurrection Chapel, and praying, Lord, I think I'm here for a reason. And if you want me to be a priest, I'll be a priest. If you want me to be a monk, I'll be a monk. If you want me to be a hermit, I'll be a hermit. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, whatever you want. Well, he did. He spoke that weekend, and it became pretty clear what I needed to do, what God was calling me to do.
Almost like Saul getting knocked off the horse. Sort of.
St. Paul is one of my favorite saints for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He experienced powerful conversion and a clear understanding of God's will, and I do have a little bit of kinship to him in that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. So entering the seminary and classwork and things like that, did you have some catching up to do, or did you find it easy?
Oh, well, in terms of the faith, yes. I hadn't had much faith formation since dropping out of PSR 5 years before. So there was a bit of catching up, but it was really fulfilling. The faith just resonates when you study it more deeply, and like I said, I love our faith so deeply, you know, and I was so glad to be home.
Do you think going to John Carroll, it's a, you know, religious institution, that have anything to do with it, or it was just more just a bang, God calling?
Somewhat. I was taking some philosophy classes that really did help me question my own assumptions. And
okay.
So when we're talking about overcoming atheism, those philosophical classes did help in learning to ask the right questions about meaning of life and what is good and what is true and what is beautiful and what makes us happy in the end.
Father, if you stay right there, we'll be back with more right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Kevin Esterbrook is joining us. He is currently the pastor of St. Ignatius of Antioch on West Boulevard in Cleveland. And Father, you talked about the importance of the weekend, the Discovery Weekend or whatever you have the exact title, was called at the seminary when you went to kind of take a look at it and you fell in love.
Yeah, that vocation weekend was so powerful. Not only did the weekend provide opportunities for prayer, but to be with other men who were also discerning. And these were pretty normal guys, and to see them and their willingness to potentially give their lives to something like the priesthood was inspiring to me. Also to see the seminarians who had already signed up, to see their example, mm-hmm. Men who were smart and funny and devout and personable, who loved the church and loved God enough to give their lives in celibate priestly service. You know, if they were willing, why couldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And, to know that I wouldn't be alone in this, I'd have brothers who shared my values and ideals, the highest ideal I could think of at the time, to give one's life for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. You know, is there anything more important than that? So their example was really powerful.
I said something that I shouldn't have said earlier, which is, did you find it easy? The seminary is not easy in any way, shape, or form, I don't think. A lot of classwork, but also the brotherhood to get you through it. You're in it together.
Yes. The seminary formation program does have a number of different dimensions. There's the academic life, and there's the spiritual life, and being involved in the liturgical life of the church, and learning how to serve people in our apostolate, like going to hospitals and nursing homes. Was it easy? It's a full life, as we used to say back then. It involves giving of your entire self and learning to serve the Lord with everything that He's given you.
Mm-hmm.
Was it easy? I feel my discernment was easy.
Okay.
Some guys struggle with that. The call to celibacy and giving up having a family. You know, the church needs families. The church needs strong Catholic families. And I think some of the seminarians feel that. But in terms of discerning, am I called to this? I think the Lord was very clear that He would give me what I needed in living celibately and for the church.
In falling away for a number of years, do you find that a helpful experience from the standpoint when someone wants to come back to the church? Maybe they're in the confessional, maybe they just want to talk to you. Can you draw on that?
Absolutely. People fall away from the church for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have difficult childhoods. They might witness scandal in some way. The world just might lead them astray, you
mm-hmm.
know. And
mm-hmm.
When folks come to talk to a priest about maybe coming back to the church, I do feel a little bit of sympathy for them and a special love for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're all called to be patient with those who are away, because the Lord might be, well, of course, He's working in their lives to bring them home. And so we certainly need to be patient with people and understanding, maybe being an instrument of God bringing them home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read one article and it said the message that you have for people who maybe don't come anymore, maybe they're in the suburbs or whatever, which is, it's a beautiful church, and two words, come home. I was surprised at something that I read, and St. Ignatius of Antioch's wonderful history, been there a long time, but you're only the 10th pastor. The guy's had a lot of long tenures there. It doesn't seem like a lot of pastors over the course of so many years.
Pastorates do vary, we know neither the day nor the hour when the Lord might have a different plan for us. So, that's all in God's timing, I believe.
You had some familiarity with the parish, I read, that because some of the people who were in the various suburban parishes that you were at had maybe originally been there, grew up in Cleveland. As the suburbs grew, people might just anecdotes, oh, yeah, I grew up there, that sort of thing. Is that?
Oh, I hear that all the time. At one point, about 80, 90 years ago, St. Ignatius of Antioch was the largest parish in the Diocese of Cleveland before World War II. And as the boys went off to war, when they came back, they did start moving out into the suburbs. But so many people do have family roots in the city. And with being the largest parish of the diocese, at one point, you do meet some folks who have their roots at St. Ignatius.
But it's got to be fulfilling, too, though, to be hopefully planting new roots. You talked earlier about sowing seeds.
God willing, that's what we're there for.
You said something that I read about confession, and we talked a bit about it, but you're not bothering the priest when you go to confession. You're there to help, to guide, to all it confession entails. And many people have fallen away from it, but I know at your parish you've added confession times.
I do believe those opportunities to go to confession are important. As a priest, it's one of the most important things that I do, to hear confessions and to be a merciful and compassionate presence for folks who are seeking the Lord's mercy. I know what it means to seek the Lord's mercy,
mm-hmm.
and it is a beautiful, beautiful sacrament of our church. And if I could offer a word of advice to anyone who's been away from the church for a while, is go speak to a priest. The confessional is there for you. The Lord is waiting for you in the sacrament of confession, and don't be afraid. It can be a moment of grace and great transformation in your life.
I notice, Father, you wear the very traditional garb, long, that a cassock. Not a lot of guys do, but I'm noticing more and more people are doing it. Does that send a message, or are you just comfortable, or is it a connection with the past? It's beautiful.
So the priests are supposed to dress in a recognizable way.
Sure.
We have a uniform, the clerical collar, and either wearing a clerical suit or the cassock is an expectation of the church, so mm-hmm. that we're have that reminder that we're on call, that we're God's servant, and that people can approach us. And so whether a priest is wearing the simple clerical collar and the suit or the cassock, those are both signs that he's a servant. He is open and willing to help you find your way to a deeper relationship with the Lord. Personally, I do enjoy wearing my cassock. It is a good reminder of me to me of the service that I'm called to. It's comfortable. It's easy to slip into. I don't like having to change a couple times a day, and
sure.
so the cassock is a very practical garment.
I've never had that explained to me before. I'm glad you did. Father, stay right where you are. We'll be back with more on God Calling here on AM 1260. Father Kevin Esterbrook is our guest on God Calling this week. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host each and every week. Hope you'll tune in each and every week at this very same time. He is the pastor of St. Ignatius of Antioch, but before getting there, Father, you had a number of locations you were at, a number of parishes, and then eventually it struck you that maybe it's time to become a pastor. But what do you take from those very different parishes? Because you were east side, west side, all around the town. What do you take from them and bring them to your ministry as a pastor?
Well, if I could first maybe talk about my vocational discernment. As I mentioned, it was not as difficult as some, and I had the wonderful examples of the seminarians who were very dedicated to their seminary formation and learning how to serve God, one day, God willing, as priests. But I mm-hmm. would like to speak about those mm-hmm. those priests of
what
ours.
Was that, yeah, what was that like?
The priests of Cleveland have been so inspiring to me, and that was one of the things that helped my discernment,
mm-hmm.
To see happy, devoted, faithful priests. During my seminary years, I was able to serve under a number of priests in my apostolates. I served at Cuyahoga County Jail with Father Neil Walters, at mm-hmm. Marymount Hospital with Father Joe O'Donnell, and Holy Redeemer Parish in Collinwood with Marty Polito, and I interned at Holy Trinity Parish in Avon with Father John Masenko, and worked with adolescents struggling with chemical dependency at New Directions Treatment Facility in Pepper Pike, served as transitional deacon at Holy Cross with Father John McNulty and Father Jack Jenkins, God rest their souls, or God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm.
But what do these priests have in common? Not much, except that they are holy priests and desire to serve the church with their lives. And that is one of the blessings of being a priest of Cleveland. We are a very diverse presbyterate, and the priests have so many gifts, and they devote their energies in a lot of different ways. But we all love to serve the church, and they're all devoted to helping souls love Christ and serve Christ. And so that the priests of Cleveland are always, and they continue to be a great inspiration to me.
It sounds like they're not forming you to be cookie cutters. Yes, you're a priest, and yes, you have the background, but your personality, and you say they're all very different personalities that you've served with.
Yeah, our road to the seminary is sometimes messy. No one has the same road to the priesthood, just like none of us have, a cookie cutter life. Every mm-hmm. God made each one of us unique. and our lives are messy, and he calls us to be holy, and he calls us to be saints amidst all that messiness. And so priests are the same as everybody else. Our lives are messy, our lives are unique, but God calls us to use those unique experiences and unique gifts in his service.
I looked up some thoughts that you had about the Last Supper, and this is kind of my summation of it. This isn't exactly what you said, but it's sort of like the Last Supper is a look forward, not a look back, taking the body of Christ, the Eucharist, to other people and as an example and such. Did I sum it up correctly?
Well, at the Last Supper, our Lord did a number of things. He did feed us with his body and blood, instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist. And that Eucharist is a sign of his presence with us going forward, right? Mm-hmm. He is the food for the journey going forward. The nourishment his church is able to draw upon throughout all of our, you know, unique trials and challenges in spreading the gospel. So it is a look forward. He prayed for the church at the Last Supper, that they may be one as I and the Father are one, he says. And so he's praying for the church that we may be sanctified. And he also gives us that example of service in washing the feet of the apostles. And he says, you know, what you see me doing, you know, love one another as I've loved you. You know, and that example of service, of kind of getting down on our hands and knees with a towel around our waist and washing feet, it's an example for all of us, again, moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a practical level, was COVID tough to lead the folks through?
It's been, what, about 3 years
yep.
since the COVID lockdowns. And it was a sad time for the mm-hmm. church in not having the same access to the sacraments as we've enjoyed. And I think for a lot of people, it deepened their hunger. We've also seen a little bit of falling away from the sacraments. Some folks who got out of the habit of mm-hmm. going to church have sadly fallen away. But again, the Lord gives us so many opportunities. And so those who love the church and love the sacraments now have the opportunity to share that love with others and call them home.
At my parish, he had kind of a drive-through. You'd watch Mass, and then you could drive your car there.
Mm-hmm.
I started out by being the guy that did the hand sanitizer. Then you'd go to get the Eucharist to the next person. But
we did something unique at St. Ignatius. Even though the church was locked, I would still hear confessions on the front steps of the church. I set up a confessional outside, so a chair where you could go face to face and a kneeler behind me if you wish to go anonymously. And I had folks who were just walking by on the sidewalk
wow.
come up and speak to the priest. And that was very unique. The churches are open again, but there's a part of me that wonders, is there some way to be uh-huh. a little bit more public with this, you know, be out in public with
yeah,
this
that was
sacrament
very creative.
Confession?
Yeah. What I was going to tell you was that first time that I drove up and got the Eucharist, it just struck me I should feel this way every week.
Mm.
You don't realize how much you miss what you love so much, but and then, you know, a month or two goes by and amen, body of Christ, amen. You know, we're weak in a lot of ways.
Having a church that fits 1,000 people helped us at St. Ignatius, where we got back into church and celebrating Mass as soon as possible with all the social distancing that we were being asked to follow. And so we added an extra Mass or two just so we could fit the people who wanted to go to church. And so we were back in church as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's great. Any messages for people in about 30 seconds here that we have left? Maybe you summed it up with, come back. What would you say to folks?
Well, to all those young men and to all young people, I certainly encourage you to don't just consider what you want to do with your life, but take the time to ask God and listen to God. Take that seriously. It's certainly incumbent upon us to consider God's calling. And for all of those parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, encourage the faith as best you can to those young people and plant those seeds as you can.
Father, very well said. Thanks for joining us. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. Cleveland Catholic Radio, Father Kevin Esterbrook, our guest. Join us each and every week at the same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again,
go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.